Scared me there. Don't sneak up on me like that. It's Halloween, or an approximation thereof. We've been building up this episode for over a month now. The Spook Fest got us all hot and bothered, and we're on edge. So surely this is going to be a special episode of the Grunt Free Press Podcast, episode 172. As it were. So, yeah, there's no way Absolute Deicide would have, you know, done all of that lead up, and now we're 2 days away from Halloween proper, I think, maybe one day, I don't know what the fuck the date is. You know, plus I'm on vacation now, too, I've got a week off, so I've got all the time in the world to really prepare and just relax and fucking just, you know, just get everything all in order, get everything, all my ducks in a row, and then deliver on this, you know, thing I've been fucking building up for months. But welcome to the show. Anyway, www.gruntfreepress.com is the website. podcast@gruntfreepress.com is the email address. And yeah, I really wish I hadn't used up all of my puns and creative energy in the prior weeks, because now, you know, but here we are, you know. I fucking, you know, I wrote a couple short stories, like, you know, whatever I did this leading up to this, I really went all out, and then I finally get here, just, here we are. Until death do us part, or an hour or so, probably. Let's probably record for an hour and see what happens. That's going to be it, whatever. So, so let's get the spook show on the road. Red Dead Redemption 2 came out this week, and yes, I played the shit out of it, but no, that's not a horror game, or I don't think it is. And at the time of this writing, I have no idea what it's about, because yeah, another Friday release, so that's going to be reserved, and I might talk about it a little bit later on at the end of the show, but I had to get other stuff. I tried to stick to mostly horror games, playing horror games this week. So, because fuck you, Friday releases, you know what I mean? Whatever. So yeah, we'll talk about Red Dead a little bit towards the end, maybe. But we'll try to keep it spooky. Like Soul Calibur 6 is scary, scary good, and also Halloween theme, because, you know, they have the creator character in there, and I created a skeleton, and I named her Boner, and that turned out to be way funnier than I thought it was going to be. I mean, I thought I was just being lazy, using the fucking the editor of just like, you know, I can just really go in there and make little changes, make a really nuanced character, or I could just make the most bare bones. Get it? Bare bones. I could, you know, make the fucking easiest fighter I could. It is fucking like, they have a skeleton, like, race or whatever, but it's just like the baseline of what you can do for your character. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just leave fucking, like, it's just the simplest thing, just a fucking skeleton in the end. Because, being lazy. I mean, creative, and naming your boner. But, that RPG story mode in Soul Calibur, there's so much text in it, so much fucking story. I mean, exactly what the story's about, I don't know, I really don't fucking care, but, there are some good, some good lines that I came up with. I mean, you join up with some pirates, and the crew is talking back and forth, and, talking to you, you know, like, hey, you know, we've got a long, hard row ahead of us, fucking, you know, just prepare yourself, Boner. You know, talking to the character I named Boner. You know, Boner, handle this for me, and nobody can lay a hand on Boner. That's for sure. You know, just they add in your character's name. Turned out pretty funny. Juvenile, absolutely, but you know, don't be a stuck-up cunt. Then they have your character like pop up on a screen. It's just fucking like whatever, just like a text bubble or whatever, text box. And they have a picture of your character and, you know, the dialogue they're saying. A lot of the times just like, the portrait of fucking the character, which is just like a skeleton. There's like, the skull, and it just fucking says like Boner for like, you know, and then has like an exclamation point. Like she's fucking like surprised or whatever. Like fucking, it's fucking, I don't know. Shock, like she's like, it's supposed to be shocked, and just funny, like as shocked as a fucking skeleton can look, I guess. I'm just fucking like, oh, you know, fucking Boner. I've still got it. I still get the comedy in me. Well, yeah, I mean, not too many boners these days. I mean, I'm off, you know, I'm fucking old, and I'm a fucking chain smoker. So I mean, real life boners are few and far between, and it's really confusing that it's a fucking female character. So you know, they'll be talking to her and saying, like, you know, she and her talking about my boner. But hey, you know, anything goes these days, right? I mean, it's all fluid, all gender fluid in your face. So, right, boners. So, so you're on an overworld map. You're following a main path. I don't think, I don't think you really have much control over it at first, if I remember right. It's just kind of like, you have to go in this linear. They're sending you, you know, the first like 10 stages or whatever. Just fucking like, all right, this is fucking your tutorial. You know what I mean? But then, after a little bit, it's like, all right, well, now you can go split off and go on an expedition, they call it, and complete side quests for additional XP and items and weapons. The leveling up you do there, like the RPG side of it, it's not like deep at all, really. It's just fucking, you know, you hit the required number of experience points, and you're just automatically your max health increases, and I think maybe like a damage, like a couple points of damage buff or something like that. But I mean, the main thing is you can equip higher level weapons that do more damage. I mean, there's no like skill tree involved or anything like that. I thought when you created the character there, you were locked into the weapon that you chose for, like, you can choose, like, all right, what's your starting weapon? I was like, all right, well, maybe, you know what I mean? I thought, like, oh, you may be able to upgrade. The first couple upgrades I got from that were, like the same thing. Like, you know, I made a fucking a scythe or whatever. So I was figuring, like, all right, well, the first couple ones I get from doing like missions and shit, like, oh, you get like a level 4 fucking scythe. Because, you know, he's a skeleton, I'm gonna give her a scythe. But so I was like, fucking, like, it's not the case though. I mean, you can swap weapons out whenever you want. It doesn't matter what they are, you're picking up like random shit. So I mean, you can, you know, the ones you pick up do more damage. They have like special buffs, like certain attack types do more damage. And those are the ones you're just getting from completing missions. But I think you can even upgrade those weapons at a blacksmith, but I didn't get that far quite yet, you know. You don't just pick up the side quest from a list or anything either. I mean, you have to physically travel there from wherever you are on the map, and the further the distance you're traveling, the more gold it's going to cost you, and they factor in the landscape too, like, you know, where you're traveling. So, I mean, if you're traveling over mountains or the sea or whatever, like, whatever, if it's rough terrain, it's going to cost more. And on your way there, too, you can trigger random encounters. And the way that works is, if you you trigger a random encounter, you fucking fight, you know, and if you fail one of those, like if the guy fucking, it's usually just like a one-off thing of just like you fighting another guy for like one round, you know what I mean? If you fail that, you know, if you lose the battle, that ends your expedition, and it's fucking like, all right, well, now you're just fucking back to where you started. You wasted your gold and shit, essentially. You know, if you win, you get more XP, more gold and shit. So it's not like all like bad, you know what I mean? It's fucking like, oh, I might want to just try to, you may be trying to level, you know, to level your guy up or whatever. So you want to fucking get some more, a little more XP and shit. So you're going for the random encounters or whatever. So, all of the actual missions though, the main ones and side ones, you can keep like retrying those as much as you want until you win. Like, there's no real penalty to losing those. It's just fucking a matter of, well, this, I mean, you could like guess if there's way too hard for you, you could like quit out, I guess, and fucking level up and come back. But, you can just like keep fucking fighting and trying and retrying. And they'll have, different modifiers to them, like the floor will be ice or whatever, so it's, you know, you're slipping around and shit, and you know, you're fucking sliding all over the place as you're trying to fight. Or the opponent will regenerate health, so he's going to have to like keep on him, try to finish him off quick and shit. Or you have to use a specific move to damage them. Kind of like what they did for, you know, Mortal Kombat or Injustice, you know, they'd have like those towers or whatever, or fucking like, oh, you know, this random fucking shit, you know, meteors fall. It's kind of like that type of thing, just random shit they throw in, but I don't think it's as annoying. Like, it's not as fucking like crazy. It's not like, oh, a super slow fucking gravity and like shit like that. You know what I mean? It's kind of like little things they tweak a little bit, to make it more interesting. I like that, but kind of better than the fucking Mortal Kombat, like fucking like, oh, there's like fucking missiles falling from the fucking sky that light you on fire and shit and all that. So yeah, that mode is fucking nuts. The fucking main story shit, you know, just how fleshed out it is. Like, when you choose like the smallest, stupidest fucking side quest, there's always like some kind of like backstory to everything. You know, bandits are stealing shipments of cinnamon, or this chick used to be the lover of the guy. She's fucking the guy who like trained you at the beginning of like fucking, like, you know, it's like, oh, he mentioned her and shit. So it's like, all right, you go to her and fight her and shit and show her what you learned. Then you, it's like fucking like, oh, you know, you beat me. Oh yeah, fucking take this letter back to the trainer guy and shit like that. So, you know, it's all just fucking paragraphs of text and dialogue and just crazy. Like, they went fucking above and beyond, what they had to do. Yeah, a couple other things too in Soul Calibur 6. They just seem to, they just seem like fucking be like fucking like, you know, just little things they do are just fucking like, wow, that makes a fucking ton of sense. Like, I don't know how they set things up. Like, I don't know why every other fighting game doesn't do this, and you know, and anyone that I play afterward, like, better be set up like this, or it's gonna fucking, it'll stick out, like, it's gonna suck, like, the way they set shit up, like the online matchmaking. You can turn, you know, you can turn like the online challengers on and off at any time, so, you know, you're not just sitting in the lobby looking at a fucking spinning wheel, Street Fighter V. That part isn't new. I know a lot of other fucking fighting games do that too, where it's like, you know, do you want to turn matchmaking on or off? But, you know, you can turn fucking online challengers, fucking, the ability to play fucking arcade mode or fucking story mode, and people will just join in, like, whatever. But what you do is, before you begin matchmaking of any sort, you pick your character and your color and all that shit. So, and when somebody joins in, it's just fucking like, boom, it's like instant, you know, it's fucking, everything's already picked. You're not, you just go right into the match. There's no fucking character select screen where there's no countdown where you're picking your character, the opponent's picking the character and all that shit, and picking the stage and all that, waiting for like 60 seconds while the asshole you're facing just fucking sits there and doesn't ready up and make a fucking choice. It's just fucking, you know, it's just fucking like match found, boom, starts fucking loading because all that shit's already fucking done. You know what I mean? Yeah. Then when the match is over, just like a prompt comes up of like, you know, do you want to, you know, well, then, you know, you have like the usual, do you want to rematch this person, all that shit. You know, if you hit no or whatever, you go back to the regular mode, but then it says like, right off the bat, like, do you want to turn matchmaking off now? You know what I mean? Like, do you want to just keep doing the mode you're doing? So you can just turn it off. You can just turn it on and off, like, whenever, you know what I mean? So you're not getting, like, constantly fucking interrupted every 10 seconds. You can never fucking finish the stage you're on or whatever. Like, it's just, like, smart like that, like, how it's set up. Like, I think before, it's, like, you have to do it in, like, a separate menu or, you know, it just reminds you of, like, hey, if you've trying to like beat this fucking dude in like arcade mode and you just keep getting interrupted, like, do you want to turn this off now? So it's just smart, you know what I mean? the online game that I did play went fucking really well. Like, I didn't fucking stomp the fucking guy, he didn't fucking murder me. It just ended up being like really close, down to the last round, I think. So yeah, it's early in the game's life, but I mean, like, fucking the ranking system seems to be working, you know? It's not like fucking, like, oh, I get matched up against this fucking, like, master fucking MLG fucking Soul Calibur player who's been playing since Dreamcast or whatever. So, again, that's coming from somebody who's fucking god awful at fighting games, but at least, you know, at least they match me with people who are equally as terrible as me. And, yeah, but plus, I mean, I love the fighting system. It's simple. It's easy to understand. If I get wrecked, I kind of know, what went wrong. You know what I mean? Like where I went wrong, the fucking move I made that, you know, left me open, like shit like that. Like it's easy to fucking understand the way the system's set up. Yeah, I mean, I even fucking played through arcade mode on hard, which would normally be fucking painful for me. Like whenever I fucking, you know, turn the difficulty up on one of these fucking games, it's like, all right, well, this now I'm fucking pretty fucked. It's almost like impossible. But yeah, I mean, I get through it fine. I mean, a lot of it's fucking, yeah, you know, it's a lot like Soul Calibur. A lot of it's just fucking like reflex and like reaction. It's not so much like special moves and like endless combos and that horseshit. You know, it's just kind of like Dead or Alive in the effect of like, well, each character is like kind of similar shit they do, and you just kind of learn the basics of whoever you're playing, and fucking, you know, just you have like a fighting chance. It seems like to me anyway, to my fucking button mashy untrained eye anyway. Yeah, Soul Calibur 6, fucking good shit. Not really spooky, and that's what we have to leave room for here. Is even, I know Soul Calibur a little bit. I mean, there's a little again boner. The skeleton is kind of spooky, but we gotta leave room I take it by your silence that you may not get what I'm talking about. But I ask you, are you sure you want to die on that hill? I played fucking Silent Hill 4 the room. Fuck you. So yeah, we talked about Silent Hill 4 before. Mostly in the old Absolute Deicide's half-remembered nostalgia fucking segments. Yeah, where I found I had like fucking, you know, fond memories of the room being like, you know, near masterpiece and fucking misunderstood as like, you know, it was such a change in the Silent Hill formula that was fucking needed. And but, you know, how does it hold up? Did it age well? Was the younger me kind of high on fucking hormones and weed and MDMA? Yeah, sure, but that's besides the point. The first thing I noticed when playing The Room, I mean, it's a much, much better looking game than fucking Silent Hill 3 was. I mean, when I played fucking Silent Hill 3, it was fucking dark and fucking blurry and shit. You know, grainy, all that shit. Not like entirely on purpose. You know, they kind of put like a filter on some of these games and make it look like, you know, like a movie or whatever, just like grainy and shitty. But it was like, no, it's kind of like just way over the top of, you know, not purposely artistically fucking like dark and blurry where I couldn't see. It's like, no, it's just kind of doesn't look good, not really holding up in some spots in Silent Hill 3. And it's, you know, some of the issues were I'm sure are like the effects they used needed to be on like a CRTV to work, you know, on a modern monitor. Just fucking some of it's just like indecipherable garbage. That worried me. I mean, I was thinking fucking like, I'm like, all right, well, is like every fucking PS2 game gonna be that way? You know what I mean? I was looking at fucking like upscalers and like mods and shit and fucking frame meisters and PS2 to HDMI cables and all that shit and just fucking, yeah, or should I fucking, like, oh, I should just fucking put like a PS2 emulator on and just fucking download these fucking games or whatever. You know, that fucking rabbit hole of insanity of like, I my goal is to play fucking Silent Hill 4. Do I, you know what I mean? Like, what do I do? Or for PlayStation 2 games in general and all that shit. And just so many options and none of them fucking particularly good. So Silent Hill 4 though, I'm like, all right, well, let's see how this fucking looks. You know, I got the disc. I got it on fucking eBay. Yeah, Silent Hill 4, fucking, just pop the disc in, I have it set up. It is going through, like, my PS2 is going through an upscaler, but I mean, I'm talking, like, a fucking, like, I think it was, like, a $20 or $10 fucking thing I've had forever. just like a fucking thing. It's like a generic, just put in cords and fucking HDMI out. Very simple. Like, you know, I play it for, like, NES and shit. So, yeah, I fucking, play it like that, the way it played Silent Hill 3, which I thought looked like shit, and it's fucking like, yeah, it looks great. Like, it's perfectly clear. It looks like, you know, just looked like I fucking remembered it. So, no issues at all in the fucking the way the game looked, the way I was playing it. I mean, some like aliasing, it's a bit rough, but I mean, come on, I'm not really going to complain about that. It's just, you know, it's just fucking like older games and shit. Oh, the Jaggies, remember that? Yeah, no real issues. I mean, fucking, graphically, it fucking holds up. The control, how it controls, that's another story. Like, I'm still not sure if there's some delay, maybe from, again, from the way that my setup, it might be a little bit of a delay. I'm going through like a capture card and all that shit. Or maybe that's just how fucking PS2 games always controlled. Like, I don't know. There's no way to tell. Like, I mean, I could just fucking hook it up directly and figure it out. But, I mean, it might come down to like, because again, just because it's not a CRTV, I fucking looked into fucking buying one of those too. And I looked around and I'm like, fucking like, maybe I should just buy like a CRTV to play like old fucking like retro games and shit. And, older consoles not meant to be hooked up, you know, that were meant to be on CRTVs. I just kind of glanced around my room and just fucking like, no, I'm not, that'd be fucking insane to fuck with that, like a giant fucking tube TV putting that shit in there. Fuck that. But yeah, anyway, Silent Hill 4 looks fucking good, still as is, so I don't know why I brought that up other than to highlight that I'm a piece of shit. But, you know, that's my Halloween costume this year, just a piece of shit, so if you couldn't tell. So yeah, I mean, the room is split up into two different modes. And the conceit is that you're just a normal dude named fucking Henry Townsend, and you're locked inside your apartment. And whenever you're in there, his apartment, you're playing the game from a first person perspective. There's no combat, you know. It's just fucking like intimate. You can really get up close in the first person perspective and inspect things. And there's a ton of little details in the apartment that are truly impressive. I mean, it doesn't control particularly smooth like the first person shit. For some reason, they made the fucking left thumbstick both move and look. You know, or the movement stick. If you hit it like left or right, like it changes. You know, it turns your fucking head too. I don't know why, but they did that. I mean, the PS2 is fucking two sticks. You know, you can use the right stick to look around too, like a normal fucking game. But I kept thinking like something's wrong with my controller. Like fucking, like I'm not hitting the right stick at all, and it's still fucking like drifting to the left or the right. I'm like, dude, this controller's got to be fucked up. And it's like, oh no, I'm just kind of doing like my normal thing. I'm just fucking, I'm just like walking. I have like the stick to walk like slightly to the fucking left or whatever. So it's fucking, you know. Moves your fucking head too. That's stupid. But yeah, it's a little touchy when you're trying to like interact with something specific, you know, like a window or something like that. If you click one part of the window, you'll look through it, but look through the window and outside and shit. But if you're just like a cunt hair up or down, you'll fucking jiggle the window and be like, oh, it's stuck, I can't open it. And it's like, you know, it's not really clear. Like when you're looking at it, there's no like cursor or mark or anything like that. You'll hear that a lot. I'm just fucking, I'm trying to look out the window of, oh, it's stuck. I'm just like, dude, fuck you. Like look up like 2 inches, you fucking stupid piece of shit. There's a little icon that'll pop up for anything that you can interact with, but again, it's not much help with stuff that's like, you know, like that, where it's fucking these like three interactive elements like right on top of each other. It's fucking like, oh, there's a giant eye. Like, you know what I mean? It's fucking, it's like, I don't know. I can't really tell what's going on there. It just, but I think it doesn't like pop up in the middle of the screen. It pops up in like the fucking upper left corner or something like that. So it's not like a fucking crosshair or anything. So, you're looking through like the peephole outside the door versus like fucking, saying the front door won't fucking stay, like the same deal. It's fucking like, oh, I'm trying to look through the people. Oh, the door's stuck. Shit like that. You know, I can't get out. And I'm fucking like, dude, come on. But that said, I mean, like the apartment, the, like the, that section of the game, like the first person shit, That's fucking awesome. Like it's fucking unbelievable how fucking well they pulled off. Like the creeping hostility there in the apartment as you progressed in the game. I mean, you're constantly going back there, back and forth. I mean, each time you return, it's just a little bit different, a little more fucked up. At first, when you first start out, it's kind of like your safe house. When you go there, your health regenerates, and you can take advantage of that. So it almost feels like it's a fucking like cheat of fucking, you know, well, why am I going to use fucking like health items and shit of fucking like, oh, I can just fucking go back to my apartment and every time just fucking like regenerate my fucking health. So why would I bother using the fucking, you know, the nutrition drinks and the fucking, first aid kits that I'm using here. Just fucking go back to the room and wait a couple seconds and you have fucking full health. You have an item box in there too, and you're barely fucking using weapons or ammo or anything either, like early on, right? So again, like, why would you do that? I just fucking, when you can just fucking like run away and like, oh, I'm going to get hit a couple times, but you know, go back to your apartment, regenerate your health. It seems really fucking like nice and easy and shit, right? So it's like, ah, this game's going to be fucking like real easy. But yeah, that changes about fucking like halfway through the game. And you realize that you weren't really taking advantage of the system at all because, you know, you use fucking, if you didn't figure that out real quick and you were just playing it like a fucking normal survival horror or Silent Hill game of like, oh, I get hurt, I'm gonna fucking take my, you know, use my health items rather than taking advantage of like healing up in the room when you could have. It's, you know, you fucked up pretty bad. They really fucking pull the rug out from under you, where it's fucking like, all right, you go back to the apartment and fuck, like, why is my health not going up? Like, oh shit. Like, you know what I mean? It starts off like a little weird in there, like the fact that you can't leave and there are like, yeah, there's like 50 padlocks on the door and people will be knocking on the fucking, you know, front door and shit. And you can just kind of look at them through the people and the people and see them fucking yelling for you and yelling at you and shit. And yeah, the superintendent, is trying to open up the fucking, your apartment, but his key doesn't work. And these fucking red slips of paper keep getting shoved underneath the door. And yeah, you can pick them up and read them. They're talking about the tenant who used to live there, a guy named Walter Sullivan, who was a serial killer who would fucking carve numbers in the bodies of his victims. And that's a little bit weird, I would say. That's how it starts off. That's like your baseline for weird. You can flip the radio on and off, which is usually just like static, but you can turn it off, and then fucking sometimes you'll get fucking, it'll be off and like it'll just come on by itself and shit. You'll get like weather reports sometimes or like little like news snippets and shit. Again, you can like look out the window whenever you want and just kind of see like cars driving by and like people walking on the streets and shit. They even let you press the X button and you can knock on the window and try to like, you know, like you're trying to fucking like get people's attention. It doesn't do anything, but it's just a neat little fucking touch. I'm just fucking, you hit X and just fucking pounding on the window and shit. Just to get them, sell that feeling of being like trapped inside the fucking apartment. And you know, you can see, look at the people in the building across the fucking the street and shit. And like, you know, the apartment across the street, you can look in their windows and see people doing like normal shit, watching TV and like exercising, or, you know, couples like fighting with each other. So, you know, it's very like Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window. You're kind of like a creepy voyeur type of thing, but you're a fucking like helpless prisoner yourself. Like, there's no way that you can get out and fucking interact with anybody. So, you find out you can move a dresser, and there's a hole in the wall that you can peer into to spy on your neighbor. Some might call it a glory hole, but given Henry's situation, I think his penis would probably just fucking disappear if he stuck it in there. But yeah, you're essentially poking around the apartment until you fucking trigger an event that will send you into like a more traditional like third person Silent Hill level, and you travel to and fro those levels via a hole in your bathroom wall. I think they should have called the game Silent Hill 4 Enter the Hole, because you enter a lot of holes, and each time you go in and out, do you travel back and forth between like the Silent Hill fucking third person world and your first person apartment? And each time it asks you like enter the hole, yes, no, and you fucking pick yes or no, usually yes. And of course you want to enter the hole. Don't be a faggot. The traveling back and forth, can get a little bit annoying. I mean, there's reasons to do it. I mean, mainly to fucking show the fucking room deteriorating and shit like that. But the way they kind of like force you to do it so often is, I don't know. I'm gonna force you to relax and take a break because spooky.
Through all those complex years, I thought I was alone.
Welcome back. We're still stuck together in this room, in the room. And I'm not stuck in here with you. You're stuck in here with me. So yeah, you have an incredibly limited inventory in Silent Hill 4. I think they only give you like 8 slots or so to put anything, to hold anything. And that includes like weapons and, ammo, puzzle items, anything. Silent Hill always fucking, every other game in the series always let you like hoard like a motherfucker. The room goes in the complete opposite direction of that. I'd say it might even be worse than fucking Resident Evil and like the fiddly fucking inventory department. And for the second half of the game, you're escorting a broad. And, you know, she has a weapon, too, that she can use. And for some reason, like, you have to have that in your inventory. Like, you know, fucking she's using a weapon, but she's physically, you can see her holding whatever she's using, but still, like, something that takes up a slot of your fucking inventory. So, again, there's one less slot that you can use for yourself. So, one less slot for the slut. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. We'll get to her later. So, yeah, the third-person segments, I mean, I called them the traditional Silent Hill stages. But, I mean, you know, just the perspective and, you know, the what you're doing, the combat, all that shit. The combat's a little bit different in the room. And the fact there's like a meter. It's almost like a fucking golf swing meter where you can charge up an attack if you hold down the button for a little bit. It'll fill up, then you press the button again, and it fucking... like, you know, the longer you hold it, the harder your attack will be. A little bit different from that. A little bit, it's kind of cool. It's kind of like different and shit. But yeah. I mean, like the, you know, the levels that you're going through. They're different. Like I said, it's almost like a fucking like subversion of what you would expect from fucking the older fucking Silent Hill games. There's no maps that you find. Instead, you autofill a map as you go. I mean, that's fucking like completely different, really. You know, there's no, especially from fucking like 3, like the map system in 3, where the fucking maps were so hard to find, it made the game like ridiculously more fucking difficult. If you happen to miss a map, and fucking Silent Hill 3 is like, holy shit, this is fucking like brutal. But here you don't worry about fucking maps at all. Like, it's just fucking like, no, it'll just show you. Like, fucking pretty much, like, you know, it's very, the levels are laid out pretty fucking like, they're not trying to fucking confuse you. It's just fucking like, you can just see where everything is. Like, when you just go like down the normal path, it's just fucking, everything's just filled out. And then the Silent Hill trope of, broken doors, you know, like hallways with 20 doors on either side, and only one of them will open. They almost like satirize that. There's the hallway in the hospital with spooky wheelchairs that are trying to run you down, and there's literally 20 doors on each side. So, you know, there's fucking like 40 rooms in a fucking hallway you can check, and every instinct tells you that only like one or two on each side is going to open up. But you can enter fucking every single one of them. So that makes it fucking like confusing in another way, like the opposite effect, where you're fucking door phobic by the end of doing that. You're just going in and out of rooms. Some of the rooms have like nothing in them. Or there'll just be like a one-off fucking spooky fucking whatever, like, you know, a spooky fucking giant head and like looking at you or something like that, or items that you want to grab. But your inventory is full. You know, it's fucking, despite there not being, an open town of Silent Hill to explore, you know, that's fucking, despite this, not, you know, there's not just fucking like, hey, there's no like, you know, the fucking foggy streets of Silent Hill and the fucking whatever Bachman Street and whatever King Avenue, you know, whatever the fuck they did, like, you know, they seem to go back to in every fucking game. There's none of that. That's fucking completely cut out. And there's like, you know, but there's like distinct levels, but it still feels like more of an open game than the other ones. You know, it's not fucking claustrophobic, really. It's the opposite of that. You know what I mean? Fucking agoraphobic. Is that it? Transphobic. Now that's something different. Yeah, you know, there's a few hallways, you know, there's fucking, you know, just very few of those. Again, like when you think of Silent Hill, like just fucking like, oh, this just going to be like a bunch of hallways you're fucking like trapped in and shit. Very few of those, let alone like, you know, the fucking like endless ones, you know what I mean? I'm fucking just like going down this fucking like just huge fucking long hallway. Yeah, you know, one level's a forest, and there are wide dirt paths with grass on either side of them that you can run on and all that shit too. So, there's big hubs connecting them and shit, connecting everything. So, a lot of like outdoor areas. So it's kind of like Dark Souls in a way. You might say. So, I mean, yeah, you know, the levels are just more fucking spacious and have less broken doors. They don't like funnel you through them or like block you off, like behind, like the areas behind you. Like once you go through, they don't block them off. Like you can still like go back to wherever and just fucking go and explore like everything. I don't think there's really any areas that just fucking you just get cut off from. Like as you progress, like everything just opens up more and more as you go. They're just so, the levels are just so big and like connected, they get like confusing, you know what I mean? Like your objective isn't clear always. It's not like fucking like, hey, here's this puzzle you have to get through that's blocking your path forward, you know what I mean? Find the solution or the key or whatever and just come back to it and open it up and you'll progress, and it'll probably just block you off from, you know, like that area you were in is fucking done, you know what I mean? And it's more like nebulous things you're triggering to advance, and it usually means you just have to fucking explore everywhere, you know what I mean? And probably enter the hole again over and over. You're in a subway, which is fucking, it has like a straightforward layout to it. If you look at the map, it's like, all right, it's just, you know, platform, two sets of stairs down and two trains at the bottom of that. So yeah, it's not a particularly large or complex level. But you end up needing a fucking token to gain access to one of the turnstiles, so you can get to, you know, it's like, all right, well, you need that. Well, the puzzle is, well, I need the token. They pretty much just give you the fucking token if you just like explore. But it's like, all right, so the token fucking opens the turnstiles, and you can go down to get to like one of the trains down there. And then fucking you start like exploring the train. It's confusing as fuck because you're weaving in and out of the cars. Some of them are fucking blocked off. Some of them aren't. You're getting an item from fucking like one of them. It's like you get like a dirty token somewhere, and then fucking it's like, all right, well, now I have to go weave back out. First you have to go enter the hole, go back to the apartment, clean off the dirty token, then to use it, you have to like go back to the subway, use the fucking token on like a vending machine or whatever to get an item, then like find like a different item somewhere to fucking unlock like the second like turnstile in the subway. So, you know, it's just shit like that where it's fucking like, well, the layout's simple, but you're just fucking, it's just like a lot of like A to C to, you know what I mean? It's not just like A to B. It's like A to C to fucking back to your apartment to order to get fucking item C, you know, item fucking B. And then, you know what I mean? So it's just fucking like the way it's set up. It's like layout is simple, but the fucking like progression is fucking more all over the place. So yeah, I mean, I get all fucked up trying to do that. And most of the levels seem like they, you know, they took me like five times as long as they fucking should have, you know what I mean? Cause it's not like, just because it's not as on rails as the other ones. I mean, I'm not saying that in like a bad way. It just doesn't, the game doesn't hold your hand with fucking like, you know, there's not like set camera angles of highlighting of like, oh, I just have to go to wherever the camera angles point me towards. It's not like that. It just seems just more, you go in an area, it's like fucking like, oh, well, it's pretty much just third person almost. I mean, yeah, it's not quite that. I mean, someone's like overhead and shit, you know, zoomed out, but it's just that like the camera angles just really aren't directing you as much. That can lead to like Easter eggs you'll find that you think are like part of the main path and shit, And that, again, you'll be like chasing down something that you think is like the main path. It's like, oh no, that's just fucking like nothing at all. Like the goddamn phone in the apartments, for example. You're in apartment world, which is the budget offshoot of Wally World. And you get 3 floors to explore in there. Maybe like half a dozen rooms on each floor or so. And, sticking with the no locked doors, design philosophy, you can go into like every room there, almost like every room in the fucking apartment. And, you know, some of them have bullets or like health items in them. Some have fucking like spooky ghosts. Yeah. So some of them fucking like some of the apartments have nothing at all in them, but, in a world building way, that's kind of cool. Right. I mean, it's fucking like, they did away with the ridiculous like fucking like, oh, I wish I could go in this door, but why is it fucking blocked off or whatever, it's broken, every door is fucking broken. It's like, oh no, now I can just go in, like it's a lot to fucking explore and check out. In that particular fucking apartment building, right, and it, you know, it's your fucking apartment building that you're in where the room is. So I mean, you're going into all these fucking all the rooms and shit, you're learning a little bit about each fucking tenant in the building that you're in, you know, Henry's building. And there's a cat lady in there, you know, not the cat lady, unfortunately. Whatever happened to the fucking Lorelei? I gotta check on the third part of that fucking series. There's fucking, different apartments. Like, oh, this apartment, a gun nut lives there. You know, there's a nurse, some guy is fucking porno mag stacked fucking floor to ceiling. And yeah, you're picking up notes and shit and detailing the relationships they have, you know, what, you know, each tenant has with each other back and forth from different perspectives and all that. One guy's a creep who's stalking the nurse, and, the other two tenants, skinned that guy alive or something like that. And then you find like an audio tape you can bring back to your Henry's apartment and listen to it. And it's fucking just like, you know, the two of them like skinning the guy alive and shit. But yeah, there's one room that had a note next to a phone. Right. And the note's about, it's like, hey, you know, the note's about fucking calling the guy whose room that is, calling his girlfriend. And then there's like, you have the option of like fucking like, oh, do you want to dial the number that's on the note? Like, do you want to dial the phone? So it's like, yeah, fucking dial it and shit. Again, you think it might be like a part of what you have to do to fucking progress and shit. So you do that, then a ghost appears, a spooky ghost. And I think it's supposed to be the ghost of skinned Mike, you know, the fucking guy that got murdered in there. And yeah, you know, he'll fucking chase you all over the apartments after you do that. And the way the ghosts work in the game is, as ghosts are wont to do, they'll phase through the walls and shit. So it doesn't matter if fucking like, all right, well, there's a, you know, ghost chasing me, I'll fucking run away from it and, you know, go in the hallway. They'll just fucking like phase through it eventually. I mean, you might have like a little bit of time to yourself, but it's fucking like, oh no, they just fucking like melt through the wall and then they're fucking on you again. Yeah, once they're on you, they're on you for like a fucking ridiculously large radius, you know, a big part of the fucking level, they'll be chasing you. In this case, I think in these apartments, it's like the entire level, this skinned Mike ghost will be fucking like chasing you, you know? But then you'll hear like another phone ringing somewhere in the apartment, and common sense is that if you answer it, like skinned Mike will fuck off, feel like he'll disappear or whatever, and you can just go back to like exploring the rest of the fucking the rest of the rooms and shit. And it'll probably like, again, it's probably it'll unlock something that you needed to fucking unlock anyway. So yeah, you know, there's a second phone ringing, I'm fucking running around trying to find it, and it's kind of like a puzzle of what they want you to do to like find out what room the phone is that you have to answer. So you're trying to figure out like who was fucking Mike's girlfriend and which apartment did she live in, you know, which you could glean from fucking paying attention to all the notes that are strewn about all over the place. But they intentionally try to throw you off of that shit where, you know, the superintendent says there's something going on between the two of them and fucking, you know, two of these tenants. And then someone else says the superintendent has it wrong. And there's a room that has fucking painted portraits of them, and their fucking room numbers, you know, too. So it's, you know, it's deliberately like confusing and fucking like, you know, oh, this guy thinks, you know, rumor says that this guy, you know, Mike's girlfriend is this lady, but actually it's this lady. Oh no, but that person's laying out. They try to like fucking throw you off with that shit. So yeah, I'm trying to figure that out with the fucking ghost chasing me through the walls the entire time. Which didn't work out so well. I mean, he fucking killed me. So I'm like, all right, so I'll try again, and I'll try doing that again. But this time I'm going to try to make sure I know like what room I'm supposed to be going to fucking answer the phone before I fucking dial the phone number like initially and have the fucking ghost start chasing me. So, I was like, all right, well, I think I know where I'm going. Then I still fucked it up, and I ended up fucking like, all right, I dial the number, and fucking the mic ghost is fucking chasing me, and fucking like, oh, go to the room I thought it was going to be, and like, oh no, this isn't it. So I was just like, all right, fuck it. I just had to run around fucking aimlessly for like 10 minutes with the fucking getting chased and shit. But you know, so I find the phone. I'm like, all right. So I find the phone that's ringing. And I'm like, all right. So I pick it up, and our good buddy there, Skin Mike, is fucking in the room with us as I'm doing it. I'm thinking like fucking, I'm like, cool, you know, I found it. It's going to be fucking like explosions and shit. And, you know, I'll get a fucking machine gun. I'll show up somewhere, or a fucking rocket launcher for figuring out this fucking like puzzle that took me like an hour to fucking like read through these notes and shit. And, but no, that's not what happened. The ghost fucking mic just fucking like disappears, and the fucking phone stops ringing, and that's it. I'm not even sure you had to fight, but yeah, I'm not sure you had to do that at all. Like, you had to fucking dial the number in the first place. And so again, is that like kind of like an Easter egg type thing of just fucking like, oh, here's like a side story that you're doing. Maybe it's also kind of a pain in the ass again. I'm just fucking, it's just the noise of a phone fucking ringing until you pick it up. But I mean, yeah, I mean, the game's full of like stuff like that, you know, little details and optional things to do. You know, the main path itself is pretty obscure in some spots, especially towards the end of it. I mean, I ended up looking through like a walkthrough a couple times. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, but, I know I could have figured most of this stuff out on my own, but it's, you know, it's one of those deals where it's fucking, I'm fucking like walking around in circles, checking the same rooms again and again, and almost like pixel hunting of what the fuck I'm supposed to do. And I mean, I have other shit to do, and fucking, you know, most of the time I'd fucking look up like, you know, like what do I have to do next in this world that I'm in or whatever. And, yeah, just the way the game is structured, like, it's, you know, it's kind of fucking, the way it's, like, open-ended, you can kind of do stuff in different orders and shit. Trying to go through a walkthrough after, like, you know, exploring that world for, like, fucking, like, hours, and then fucking, like, you know, walking yourself in circles and, like, looking through a walkthrough afterwards, it's fucking, like, it doesn't really help at all, you know what I mean? It's but yeah, anyway, so yeah, let's close the door on the room in a fucking rapid-fire manner here. Just because I want to enjoy my Halloween, and I think the room, you know, I think the room is probably the darkest Silent Hill, and that, you know, that's saying something. I know it's a large fucking claim, but yeah, just the way there's some of the shit in there is fucking just like, oh, it's pretty fucked up. But, you know, it's not like there's fucking a level that's like a child prison where they watch kids like starve to death, and they toss their bodies down like disposal chutes and shit like that. I mean, just fucking, you know, just cults where they fucking like indoctrinate kids. It's not just like a little note thing that you fucking like pick up. It's like, no, you're like exploring this fucking area, like this child fucking prison, and you're fucking like seeing like bloody beds and all this shit, and picking up again, he's going to like every fucking room and just seeing like little environmental storytelling of like kids like getting like tortured and shit. And just it's pretty dark. So, but it's also more fucking like grounded, I would say, than the others too. Like the main focus is on like the villain of the character, like Walter Sullivan, I would say. Like, he's like the star of the show. Like, it's not even really fucking, I can barely remember the fucking guy that you're playing his name, because he's barely a fucking character in it. But, you know, it's more like Walter Sullivan's fucking story, and they fucking, flesh him out to be like an almost like realistic fucking serial killer, you know, it's fucking like almost like an urban legend that you could, you know, whatever, like, you know, minus the fucking, you know, the ghost stuff. It's kind of like viscerally creepy. It's not, the room's not like overly abstract, like fucking like representations of somebody's psyche. And you know what I mean? It's not like this fucking like deep level subconscious, all that. No, not so much that, you know, it's just more like just fucking like, oh, here's just like some fucked up shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like here's some, again, like almost like real world stuff. But so yeah, man, it is a fucking like great game. It's a bit weirder and more ambitious than people give it credit for. I'll say that. Not everything works though. Like the back and forth to your room to fuck with the inventory and all that. I mean, you're just fucking doing that fucking way too many times to the point where it just gets fucking obnoxious having to go back and forth because your inventory is full. And you want to fucking drop off like 10 fucking pistol bullets or whatever. Yeah, the second half of the game where you're returning to each location, like the Silent Hill sections of the world, you know what I mean? I think that's fine. I mean, I know like people had a problem with fucking like, oh, just like repeat the same, you know, the same fucking locations for the second half of the game. But that, I actually kind of like that. I mean, the concept of it, I like. I mean, instead of like, you know, it's not like you're roaming the hospital and then like a siren will go off randomly and then you're in like the other world version of that hospital. Then you go back to normal and it's, you know, then it's fucking like all over the place back and forth. The one thing I think the room fucking nails that I think is great is like the pacing in the sense that you just feel like you're just more and more fucked as you progress. Just everything just gets more hostile. I mean, there's no like fucking reprieve or there's no like turning back. You know what I mean? It's like once your room starts getting fucked up, it's like, you know, the rest of the game starts getting fucked up. You just feel like you're just more and more under fucking attack. Again, it's not like the fucking like, oh, you know, you're in some fucked up version of one place and like, oh no, it's back to like kind of normal. And then like, you know, it's not like back and it's just like, no, it's just like the steady, just fucking like it just gets worse and worse as you go. I think it's great. But you know, unfortunately you have to fucking babysit the broad the entire second half too, which I think that's like a good idea, but she's kind of a dumb bimbo. And she, you know, she gets more fucked up as she takes damage and she starts like limping, which in turn makes it more likely that she'll take more damage. So, you know, it's kind of like a downward spiral, you know, and also kind of a pain in the ass because, you know, you're trying to fucking like run away from, you're trying to like run from and like juke out enemies and fucking, but at the same time have this limping fucking bitch behind you, like keep up. You know, then you'll fucking like, oh, you know, you made a fucking nice fucking move, a nice break. And then, yeah, and then fucking like, you know, get out the door and then fucking like, hey, where the fuck is Eileen? You know, come on, Eileen, if you know what I mean. There's one part in fucking particular towards the end, you know, where things are like heating up. You find out what the deal is with fucking Walter Sullivan, where he is, and you know, you get these big fucking payoffs everywhere. Then you go back to your apartment. You're with Eileen this time. So you know it's like, hey, you know, you tried doing that before, and you went through the fucking hole, and she just like wasn't there and shit. And fucking it's a big thing of like, oh no, of like just like that's your thing. Like nobody else can like cross into your room. And it's like, oh no, hey, this time you like go into your room and fucking Eileen's with you and shit. So you know it's just fucking like, oh, you know, you're breaking out of the fucking out of the room, like the isolation. I guess you can just tell it's like building up towards the end, and then for no reason, this fucking random black fucking slime guy appears from the ceiling upside down, and he just gives you a recap of everything that happened, like during the game, and like over explains everything that fucking you probably pieced together on your own. It's just like a non interactive cutscene. It's probably like 5 minutes long of just fucking Henry and fucking Eileen just staring at this dude. Staring at him, and he says, you know, he says this fucking like big booming voice fucking going on and on. It's not good, you know what I mean? It's that scene's fucking like real bad. You know, just fucking this guy hanging upside down telling you like fucking, you know, and then Walter grew attached to this very apartment we are standing in now, and he thought of it as his mother's womb, and a child version of Walter manifested himself as well in the world. Perhaps you've encountered him in your travels. Well, I must go now. My home planet needs me. And he fucking disappears. And I don't know what the fuck that was. Well, I'm like, dude, what the fuck was that? That just sucked. Like, it was just, like, real bad. Like, there's one thing is fucking, like, that should have been cut. Like, that's pretty awful. It sucked. So, all right. So, Silent Hill 4, The Room. Thumbs up. So, I'd say for the series, my ranking goes best to worst. I would say one's the best, two is very close behind that, and then probably four, you know, a little step down, and then three, which is close to four. I mean, there's, you know, that's my ranking. So no, I know nobody asked, but anyway, so let's move on. So yeah, rapid fire. We're gonna do some rapid fire trick or treats here, just because, again, I actually want to enjoy my vacation and my time off. I know, it's fucking not very professional, but what are you going to do? Nobody listens anyway, so fuck it. So, yeah, the second season of the Castlevania animated series on Netflix is out. I've only been able to watch the first two episodes of the new season so far. And yeah, the first episode was almost a recap of the first season, where a random fucking black slime guy fucking appeared from the ceiling upside down and gave you the recap. And the second episode is fucking Dracula and his vampire army. They're just kind of like sitting around kind of planning out how best to destroy the human race. Spoiler alert, it's communism. And then, you know, they have like the second story of Trevor and Alucard and... I forget what the girl's name is, Seska or Siska, the magician broad. They're all sitting around like planning how to fucking kill Dracula. So, a bit of a slow start there. I mean, that's fine. You know what I mean? It's still some gore, some good action scenes. And Peter Stormare voices a Scottish vampire. And it just pretty much sounds like fucking Peter Stormare. And you have Peter Stormare's accent, like where the fuck his weird fucking fucked up accent is. But, yeah, I mean, that's cool. I know, fucking, I think this season's fucking longer than the last one, too. So it's like, yeah, it's a little bit of a build-up and shit, but we'll see where it goes. And, again, I played some fucking, quite a bit of fucking Red Dead Redemption 2, but I'm not going to get too deep into that here on our spook-centric episode. But, yeah, I played Red Dead for probably like 10 hours or so, which sounds like a lot, but that was kind of like just enough time to realize that, playing that game for fucking 10 hours means just about fucking nothing, because it's fucking huge, and it's just like this huge fucking immaculately fucking detailed world, like down to you like talking fucking talking like, you know, you can like fucking like right trigger whatever it is. Yeah, art. I'm playing on PlayStation 4. You like R2, like anybody, any like strangers fucking, oh, you can like greet them, you can like antagonize them and shit. You can take, like, any gun that you own and bring it to, like, a shop and customize the color and the engravings of, like, each individual part. It's fucking, like, the stock, the barrel, the trigger. Almost like fucking Ghost Recon Future Soldier type of shit. Where it's not like that detailed. They have, like, the explosion. But it's, like, more like, you know, it's not like fucking, you can't even do it, like, quick. Like, it's not just, like, an explosion out. And it's, like, I want to swap this part for this part. It's fucking, like, you have to, like, physically walk to, like a store, fucking sit there, like, put the gun on the counter and fucking, like, open up, like, a catalog and shit. And just fucking, like, well, I want to swap this trigger out with this trigger. And, you know, do, like, camouflage on the barrel and, like, do, like, a wrap around the stock and shit. Different sights. And it's fucking... I don't think you can name it, like, I mean, if you name the fucking gun or whatever, like, personalize it, but it's just, like, so much fucking going on in fucking Red Dead Redemption 2. It was fucking, like, oh, I'm just gonna get lost in this fucking forever, so right now I'm just gonna take a break from playing it, we'll save it. We'll save it completely. Hopefully come back to it. But in that vein, do you remember fucking Manhunt? That's another Rockstar game. From the makers of Red Dead Redemption 2, this fucking snuff film-inspired stealth game where you play a death row inmate who had his fucking execution faked so he can go out and murder people for the enjoyment of some mysterious director, who we all know is really George Soros, furiously ranking his fucking floppy pecker to people dying because of his real-life Nazi fucking will. spoiler for the game. I don't know. It's been out long enough. I don't really care. But yeah, so Manhunt is not a good fucking stealth game. I mean, I had fond memories of fucking Manhunt. When I was a young lad, of course, the shock value of just fucking decapitating people with fucking machetes and fucking putting plastic bags over their heads and like suffocating them and shit. Like that helped it. You know, like seeing that shit and doing that. It's like, oh, this game's awesome and shit. But, I also recall it being like fun to play too, but playing it now, yeah, it's not. It's not very fun to play. It's not a very good stealth game. It's not fucking Splinter Cell, definitely. Like, it's not fucking that good. The AI in fucking Manhunt, it's just fucked. Like, it's just fucking like classically like bad stealth game AI, where there seems to be like no fucking consistency. Is it like how far away they'll fucking the people will spot you, or like how much noise you can make or whatever. Plus they're just fucking like retarded on top of all of it. So, you know, they'll fucking spot you for no discernible fucking reason of just fucking like, you know what I mean? Just fucking, it doesn't even matter if they spot you anyway, because you can just fucking run like 5 feet and take a corner and just hide in like the first shadow you see and just fucking like, you know, they'll just be like, hey, where'd he go? You know, where'd that fucking cocksucker go? And, you know, they'll be fucking like an inch away from you and shit. So then they just fucking kind of give up immediately and just turn their backs and you just fucking like bash their brains in with a baseball bat or whatever. Which is entertaining, for about 5 minutes, you know, but yeah, when you have to deal with fucking like large groups of them, it just means like fucking like, oh, there's a ton of them now. So it's fucking like, oh, I just have to fucking run further to get away from them and then hide in the fucking shadow like an asshole for longer until they give up, you know, and that's pretty much what it means. And I don't know if it's just like the PC version that I'm playing, but it's fucking like janky as fuck too. Like, I'm not saying there's not like, I've never really run into too many like straight up like glitches of like whatever, like something I couldn't progress. I did have to like patch it or whatever. Like, this little, you know, just fucking little things you have to do to make it so it runs better. Like, I did all that shit, make it widescreen, all that bullshit. But, yeah, like bad scripting maybe, or just like dudes will just fucking like run out at you, like, you know, full speed for no reason, and is fucking out of nowhere, just like they just spawned in, they're yelling fucking like, oh, all right, you know what I mean, like fucking like, oh, let's get this guy and shit, it's fucking, oh, I see you, and just fucking like, dude, where the fuck, you know what I mean, just fucking like randomly, just fucking, I'm just walking down a fucking alleyway, and then fucking just guys are just fucking running at me and shit. It's like, oh, what the fuck is going on? That seems fucked up. Or, you know, there's a sequence where you're supposed to use like one of those like junkyard, like the big like magnetic cranes they used to pick up like cars and shit. And yeah, you're supposed to use that to throw like a refrigerator at people, pick up the refrigerator and just fucking swing it around. It's like, dude, that doesn't fucking work at all. I mean, it works, but it's like the physics and the controls that are in there are so bad. Like, you're just better off like getting out of the fucking crane and just running away, because he's going to get fucked up. Guys fucking shooting nail guns at you and shit as we're trying to fucking fuck with this goddamn refrigerator. It just fucking plays like shit. So that's what I did. I just fucking ran away. So yeah, Manhunt's not very good. Sorry to ruin your dark childhood fantasies, but yeah, not a good game. So, but is the new Call of Cthulhu game any good? That's really the big question. I mean, that's our big Halloween Spookathon fucking highlight wrap-up game, right? But it came out today, so I don't know. I'm gonna get off and play it right now. So again, my Halloween. I know. I kind of fizzled out on a downer there, but whatever. Or maybe this is a cleverly planned cliffhanger. So I don't know. I guess you'll just have to tune in to next week to find out on part two of the Grunt Free Press Fright Fest, shit your pants, the fuck you, I'm on vacation, spooktacular, boobs. Oh, and podcast at gruntfreepress.com is the email address, and www.gruntfreepress.com is the website. I'm Absolute Deicide, and yeah, happy Halloween. Spend it with your loved ones that are dead, and join them.
shot, stabbed, and bludgeoned 9 people to death, committing one of the most heinous crimes in history.
There are many strange tales from the hallowed ween halls of the Mizpah. The most popular tale involves the murder of a pretty young lady on the fifth floor of the hotel. She was a lady of the evening and became involved in a love triangle. That's according to the assistant manager now of the Mizpah, Sue Harmon. She was caught with another man by the man who was madly in love with her. He stabbed her to death. According to Harmon, there have been many sightings of the lady in red. She resides on the fifth floor, but she'll wander all over the hotel. She loves to pull pranks. She's the one that causes the Keno board to light up. Wait till you hear this. Many employees and visitors to the Mizpah claim they've seen the Keno board begin to flash numbers as if a game were in progress. The Keno boards at the Mizpah haven't been connected to an electrical source for years. Many claim she can be heard at night, moaning and walking about the floors. She's been known to carry on a conversation with people. We'll only later find out no one is there. Sharon Mitchell of Round Mountain relates a story about the lady in red that occurred to her son, Stuart, when he was working at the hotel during its reconstruction in the late 70s. Sharon was a dealer and a pit boss for the Mizpah at the time. Two of my sons worked after school at the Mizpah, helping to remove walls and do general construction work. Stuart was 14 or 15 years old at the time. One night, Stuart was unusually quiet on the way home. I asked him if he was feeling okay, but he said something weird had happened during work. Stuart told his mother, "I was working down in the basement, tearing out a wall. There was a woman with me. She asked me what I was doing, and I told her I was taking the wall down. She told me she didn't want the wall taken out. I asked her who she was, and she said, 'I live here, and I don't want that wall taken down.'" Stuart went to get his boss. When they returned, the lady was, of course, no longer there. Sharon told her son that it didn't seem much to be upset about. Stuart responded, "But Mom, it isn't Halloween," but she was dressed in a costume. According to Sharon, her son then described the lady as wearing a long dress with a bustle that looked like turn-of-the-century clothing. He was very upset. Mitchell said she really didn't believe in ghosts, but if they exist anywhere, they're at the Mizpah.